Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You are going to win tickets to see the Capitals as they take on the Islanders. Congrats. Enjoy the game. It's on Halloween. Hockey Halloween, presented by Duncan. Spooky vibes. Take over Capital One Arena for tickets. And the complete cap schedule, go to thefandc.com/events. We'll be giving these tickets away all week long at 4 ahead of the Blitz every day.
We are exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. We are hanging out with them in Kansas City, in fact. They can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
So we'll get into Matthew Wright, the new kicker for the Commanders, in just a few minutes. But some biographical info for you to get to know the newest member of the Washington roster. He's 29 years old, not very big, about 5'10", 170 pounds, Pennsylvania native, went to college at Central Florida. He has a Super Bowl ring, having been in an organization during a Super Bowl year, and he has kicked for a ton of different teams. The Steelers, the Jaguars, the Titans, the Panthers, the 49ers, and maybe part of why, frankly, he gets signed here to kick at Arrowhead tonight, he has kicked for the Chiefs when they had an issue with Harrison Butker having an injury last year. He's actually had a couple of stints in 2022 and in 2024. The Chiefs have had him on speed dial. He did kick this season with the Titans, made his only field goal in the 40 to 49 range. Last year, he kicked for three different teams, the Niners, the Chiefs, and the Titans. And in those three stints overall, he went 15 of 16 with a long of 50. So he's been out there. Gets called by teams frequently for a game or two cameo. Hasn't been able to nail down a job, but he will have the assignment tonight. Hours after joining the Commanders, who knows, maybe kicking a huge field goal for them with the whole country watching on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, the TV script writes itself, right? I mean, the Disney movie is already in production if it does happen that way. But yeah, a journeyman, so, you know, that's obvious. You're not available in week eight. If you've landed a permanent gig, that's the nature of the job. But yeah, a spot where they can't afford to have any mistakes tonight, I would say.
No doubt. The only good news when you lose a kicker on game day like Matt Gay is that he has not been good enough that it becomes a huge concern. You've got the inconsistencies on kickoffs and not having confidence when a kicker lines up covered, even with Matt Gay. That's the season he's having. So Matthew Wright, if he misses a kick here, it kicks the ball out of bounds. You know, that's happened a few times this year. It's not like you're going from Chris Boswell, who we saw put on the clinic for the Steelers last night, is a weapon. He's important. It changes the game when he's not available. I don't know how much it changes things for Washington. All right, let's get to the Beltway Blitz and start you off on the hardwood.
The Washington Wizards.
Bijan Todd covers the Wizards for Monumental Sports. Bijan, yesterday we were watching the game here, streaming it in Kansas City. Everything was going well in the first half. Alex Saar looked great, and then he kind of slowed down, and the rest of the offense did too, and they gave up almost 90 points after halftime. What happened?
Yeah, it was not good, guys. It ties a franchise record for most points conceded in a half with 88, which was pretty insane. And we asked Brian Keefe about it post-game, and he was like, we just didn't maintain the efficiency that we had in the first half, holding them to a moderate shooting split. But in the second half, it was also tough because they ran into a lot of foul trouble, like Keyshawn George fouled out. Saar got into a little bit of trouble himself. So there's something they've got to clean up heading into tomorrow's game against Philly, for sure.
Yeah, give me an assessment here on George through a few games. There's been a lot to like an awful lot, but you know there are some things like last night, for example, where it's a, if you're going to be a huge focal point on both sides of the ball, you kind of can't end up with 6 points, five fouls, or six fouls rather, and sort of exit the game there. But just sort of give me about his growth and kind of where we're at with him.
Yeah, for sure, Danny. And I remember we talked on the Blitz last week about him being one of the lead ball handlers for this team. And that's what's happened thus far this year, right? He's been bringing the ball up a lot more. And it's a thing where the Wizards want pretty much whoever grabs the rebound to bring the ball up, regardless of who it is. And Keyshawn's done a really good job of that, I think. And then one thing that happened last night that kind of brought him back down to earth after 34 points against Dallas was that he went 0-for-4 from three, even though they were all good looks, right? And he couldn't hit them. He went 3-for-7 from the field, so he made the rest of his field goal attempts. But it wasn't as efficient of a night as he would have liked. And the perch where we're sitting behind the Wizards bench gave us a great POV. And when he fouled out and he got that sixth foul, he was cursing up a storm. He was not happy with himself, which I understand. But he'll get another opportunity tomorrow against an undermanned Philly team. We'll see how it goes.
He was exceptional on Friday against the Mavs and a big win for the Wizards. They're 1-2 on the season. How about the game in Dallas over the weekend? We haven't really talked since on the show, but that was kind of what you dream up for them with their young guys starring.
It was, yeah. That's pretty much what I think every game, the Wizards are hoping every game is going to be like this year. And Dallas had an off night. They haven't had as good of a defensive season as you would expect with guys like Anthony Davis and Cooper Flagg. But the Wizards were just spraying it around, right? And the one thing to remember is they almost lost the lead, too, in the fourth quarter when Dallas was making a run. But they held on to it, partially because of Keyshawn George and his 34 points. And one thing that I really liked in that game and across the season, really, is Alex Saar and his shot diet. Like, he's finally learning to use his body and get into the paint at 7 feet tall. Dropped 21 points last night. And so both good developments, and I think it's something that needs to continue. Obviously, a tough test going up against Joel Embiid tomorrow, but certainly trending in the right direction.
Bijan, thank you as always, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right, sounds good, guys. Thank you.
You got it, man. Hit that college football sounder.
College football.
We'll be joined in a second by our buddy Denton Day, but I want to get to this first. Brian Kelly, not good enough. I mean, that was it, GP. It seemed like just a small amount of time that he got to prove that he was good, and now they owe him tens of millions of dollars. We bring on our buddy Denton Day, SiriusXM, also Burgundy and Gold pregame here on 106.7 The Fan. Denton, what do you make of the fact that Brian Kelly is no longer employed by LSU?
Is not exactly surprising anymore, fellas. As soon as James Franklin was fired, it was a realization to me that the dollar amounts that we see on social media and in reports are all make-believe. These schools have the money, they're just hiding it, and when they want to get rid of somebody, they can. And with Brian Kelly, he was not a great football coach, and even worse, he's never been accused of being a great person. So it was very easy for them to make that decision.
Denton, I maybe I'm in the minority. I don't understand the college football firings at this point. And I get how we get here with like a guy like James Franklin and the losses, but Brian Kelly loses to the number three team in America for their third loss of the year. They've underachieved a little bit, no doubt. But I mean, we're talking about teams that are in the top 10, the top 15, the top 20. And I just kind of wonder like how much better sometimes schools are going to do than a James Franklin at Penn State. In addition to the fact that they're shelling out $50 and $60 million to these guys to say goodbye, it just seems crazy to me.
So it is crazy. I mean, there's no way to properly justify handing out the amount of money that these schools are handing out to guys who are not going to work for them anymore. The Brian Kelly thing, though, Grant, was not that they lost to Texas A&M. It was the way that they lost to Texas A&M and how that compounded over the course of what was 3.5 years of coming there to win a championship, and then it felt like nothing was ever going the right way. And on top of that, there were some behind-the-scenes stuff as well that is slowly starting to come out about how he maybe was not doing all of the things that he needed to in terms of being on the recruiting trail. And the college football calendar is a very kind of wonky one, but there's some really important times in that calendar where the coach needs to be super locked in. And some of the things that we've heard over the last 24 hours were that he was not. And if you're getting paid $10 million plus per season and not doing the things you need to do, there's no way to justify keeping you, especially if you're losing games in embarrassing fashion to the way that they did against Texas A&M.
Denton, I'm much older than you. I am old enough to remember when Florida was a very pedestrian program before some dude named Steve Spurrier took over. They couldn't beat anybody. They were getting mud stomped by Georgia every year. It's a 6-win team going to like the Poulin Weed Eater Blue Field Bowl. And now it looks like they're back in that bucket again. A, how is that possible at a place with the rabid fan base and the money and the facilities like Florida to be just a pedestrian, under .500 team? I think, what is it, 5 of the last 6 years? Who's going to take that job? What's going to happen? How can they get back to being a power? Or will they?
So they're desperately going to put a blank check in front of Lane Kiffin the way that most of these openings are. You know, what's crazy to me, fellas, and this is a little off the beaten path, Danny, but I do think it answers your question. There's so many openings in college football right now, but I don't know that there are a bunch of college coaches that are ready for those kinds of openings or ones that would be considered your sexy hires the way that Brian Kelly was when he got hired at LSU, the way that Lane Kiffin was when he got hired at USC. I don't know if there's a guy that is going to walk in and take Florida back to where Urban Meyer and Steve Spurrier had them. They have money. They have resources. In the first couple of years under Billy Napier, there was some weird stuff going on in terms of people infighting, if you will, of people that were a little bit higher than Billy Napier and delegating money. That's all been resolved. I just don't know who is going to want to walk in there and be the guy to kind of attempt to right the ship for what now feels like the fourth coaching staff in a row.
Couple of locals I want to hit on with you, Denton, before we let you go. Virginia survives a scare from North Carolina. Looked like a game where they could have, should have stubbed their toe, but they survive in advance against a bad team. 17-16 winners this weekend. They're top 15 in the country. Now they get Cal coming up on November 1st. Mm-hmm. And then also Maryland. Indiana's coming to town.
Ew.
That should be something on Saturday.
Whatever the Indiana team total is, this is no disrespect to Maryland, but whatever the team total is for Indiana, bet the over. They just hang massive numbers on everybody. Virginia, though, you're right, Grant. I mean, that was a spot where they could have stubbed their toe. They didn't very much survive in advance, and now they get to take on the Ron Rivera general manager-led Cal Bears. I can't think of a better way to keep this thing moving. They just have to execute. They have to be nearly perfect every single week. They're a good team, but they're not uberly talented. They got a good quarterback. They have to execute at an insanely high level. It's going to be really tough to do for the remaining couple weeks of the season.
Denton, you're the best, buddy. Have a good show tonight.
Fellas, appreciate it.
We'll see you, pal. Hit that local 53 sounder, please.
The Washington Commanders.
Our guy, Odyssey Richmond, Michael Phillips joins us. It was great to see Miguel Philippe live in person. Don't get him started. He will drop more hot, scalding, boiling takes at you about the way overtime should be, the way football can be fixed. If you give him an inch, he will take all of the miles. Miguel, how do they win tonight?
Well, I think it starts with making plays defensively, right? There's so few of those this year. Sanders still had chances to take the ball away. You know, he's missed on most of them. Daron Payne has been disruptive up front, but they haven't had the kind of game-changing flip-the-field plays you need to beat a team like this. On offense, I think back to the preseason game where the starters played. You remember that, the Monday nighter, where this kind of moved down the field, old Cliff Kingsbury dialing up a run, you know, tossing it to Debo, which is kind of like a run. I think spreading the field, Debo's back. Cliff feels good about his running backs. He likes the mix of the three. It's about dialing it up in a combination that will let them control the clock, win the game.
What Chiefs playmaker worries you most tonight?
Oh, man, I think Rice has to be the one. Right? He's been phenomenal, in his return, and I think you expect the same tonight against this secondary. I've seen nothing that leads me to believe they've got the tools to stop him. So certainly the formula to beat Patrick Mahomes has been don't let him go deep, make him beat you 5 yards at a time, and hope there's holding, a false start, hope for the best. This is certainly a night where I think Mahomes is watching the tape saying, maybe I could go deep tonight.
In terms of this offense, what are we expecting from the return of Debo Samuel? Only missed a week, but wasn't himself the week before. And Terry McLaurin as well. How much will this group be buoyed? And maybe Marcus Mariota moves the football a little bit up and down to try to keep pace with these Chiefs.
I'm excited. It's a big night for Terry. Let's say that. Because, you think about Henderson, Cincinnati yesterday, right? Holdout guy. Gets hurt, comes back, gets hurt. If Terry doesn't play to his best, it just fires up that conversation for the whole rest of the season. Should he have held out? Is this because he held out? This is a chance to put that behind him and start moving towards a productive second half of the season where you've got some games where he can put up some numbers, make some plays. And I'm sure you guys mentioned it. We got a new kicker tonight, Matthew Wright, who has kicked for the Chiefs before at Arrowhead. So we'll keep an eye on that as well, obviously.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. No Matt Gay. Matthew Wright is signed minutes ago. He will kick tonight. I mean, there is quite literally going to be a lot of guys in the locker room that don't even know who he is. I mean, they'll notice maybe that a different guy's warming up, but it's not like Dan Quinn's going to have a meeting where he says we have a new kicker. So I'll bet you there might even be dudes that see him out on the field and go,
who's the new ball boy?
Who's this guy? But that said, he could be the guy determining the game tonight. It's a weird sport. You never know. What do you make of that?
I'll be curious to see his range, because certainly we've not been confident watching Matt Gay kick from 50-plus at any point this season. If he brings a little bit of length, it's a league where guys are routinely hitting 55 and 60 now. I don't think he's played an NFL game with the new K football yet that are allowed to go farther. I'm excited to see what he can do. And when they win tonight, Grant, isn't that the fitting end? The dude they signed this afternoon gets carried off on their shoulders. That's the stuff Disney movies are made of.
They've played seven games. They've only forced turnovers in two of them, which combined for the total of three on the season. That is a paltry total. Not a great candidate in terms of Pat Mahomes to force some turnovers tonight, but is there a way they could generate a takeaway?
Yeah, sure, and they can pressure him up front. And I haven't seen official word on Deron Payne yet, so correct me if that's out there yet. But I think with Deron Payne in particular, if he plays, you get him moving, and Mahomes has lost. He has been rattled. They flushed him out. They've moved him, around and made him throw it from uncomfortable positions. I think this line has the ability to do that, and I think they'll have to do that, to make things easier for the secondary tonight.
Michael, it was great hanging out last night at the house watching a little Sunday Night Football after you got your barbecue fix. What's been your best barbecue so far out here?
Well, I just wrapped up at Joe's, which is, of course, the iconic Kansas City place right now, formerly Oklahoma Joe's. And it's hard to beat the classics. That's my fourth barbecue place. I was at the Char Bar last night. Definitely recommend the Char Bar if you're ever in the area. May have to hit Bryant's or Gates tomorrow before I get on the plane home. It's been a good trip. Bad trip for the waistline. Good trip for us.
Yeah, you are doing the barbecue gauntlet, and you're doing it right. Miguel, enjoy the game this evening, buddy. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care, boys.
That's Kansas' own Michael Phillips, by the way.
That's right.
He's got ties. He's from this area. He knows what he's doing. He has been very helpful to the pals here on Grant and Danny on our trip, so we appreciate that from him. All right, next, let's get into a Commander spotlight. Who deserves some attention going into this game, and who are we going to pay added attention to tonight as Washington, a 10.5-point dog, tries to stun everybody and beat the Chiefs? That's next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Commanders Chiefs tonight on Monday Night Football. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. We are in Kansas City thanks to the show sponsor, the law firm Condori and Murad, bringing us out here, putting us up, and we got tickets to the game as well. We will be in the stands in the lower bowl tonight. It's going to be around 50 degrees. There will be no precipitation, so we're hoping for a chilly, fun atmosphere, and the team's going back and forth. Hopefully it's not lopsided. That's the goal.
Hang around. Counting crows this thing. Right. If you're close, that's kind of the recipe. I don't see a Washington blowout in the cards. Right. I mean, you think of the scenarios: close win Kansas City, blowout win Kansas City, close win Washington, blowout win Washington. I don't see blowout win Washington in any kind of shape or form. You play this game 100 times. I don't think that happens once, given the kind of current state of the union. You can walk a tightrope here. right? They're not immune to a mistake or two. They're not immune to a play that doesn't make any sense, or someone doing something boneheaded, or, you know, this guy bobbling a ball and it ends up in your hands, or, you know, not practicing ball security when they think they're all alone. Someone comes in and hits you in just the right way. I mean, again, their win a few weeks ago, now it seems like ancient history, against the Chargers, turned just because Quan Martin hit Quentin Johnston hard. Right? I mean, that's what happened. It wasn't like a fumble punch. It wasn't some sort of remarkable play. It was just you went in with, what does Joe Witt say, with violent intentions, and made a play on the football. You pick it up, and now all of a sudden that game changes, right? As they're about to walk in for 17-0, it turns around. You got a big road win, and everybody is, you know, is back patting on the sidelines. That's all it takes. Hang around and see what happens. I'll take my chances with that tonight.
I want to go through a Commander's spotlight with you. Put the bright lights on various members of the team that have to show up if the Commanders are going to hang in this football game. And I'm going to start with spotlight on Matthew Wright. We just found out the Commanders would have a new kicker tonight. Matt Gay is out. This is a really interesting opportunity, actually, to see what this looks like with somebody else kicking here. Now, we don't know how serious the Gay injury is going to be, or is it going to linger. I think it's a back that popped up over the weekend. He was in question until today. They obviously flew Matthew Wright in here, and just in case Gay wasn't able to go, had him on speed dial at the team hotel. Somebody knocked on his door today and said, get ready to kick on Monday Night
Football.
You're
kicking, buddy.
So he will kick. You just don't know if he's going to have to, you know, pick in a big spot or not. I would imagine this means they go for a couple of fourth downs they traditionally wouldn't with a new kicker out there in plus territory. Probably not going to ask him to boot a 55, 56-yarder in his debut. Not a ton of familiarity with him. But can you imagine if this thing comes down to the wire, you've got a brand new kicker out there helping determine the fate of the entire team. You know, 90 people in the building all counting on, their families all counting on this dude who's been here for just a few minutes. So spotlight on Matthew
Wright. That's kind of what we were talking about a moment ago, right? We're going, this is the script, hang around. Well, you know what happens in a game where you hang around? It might come down to the kicker. The irony there is pretty amazing. Terry McLaurin, again, this is, you didn't show up to training camp. You didn't show up to all the practices. You held out, you held in, you held everywhere else. At some point, you're being paid a lot of money. I need you to be the player that you claimed you were, that you were fighting with the team, right? You were negotiating for yourself, and your agent was. I understand the process. I get it. I'm not angry about that. I understand you want to get what you're worth. But you argued, this is what I'm worth. Now would be a great time. Primetime, Natty TV, backup quarterback, an offense that's going to have to ring the bell a few times. You want to hang with Pat Mahomes on Primetime Football. You better cross the goal line a couple times if you're the offense, right? Some big plays need to be made by 17. Spotlight there.
Josh Connerly at tackle. I'm putting the spotlight on the big rookie, 6'4", 315, first-year player out of Oregon. Remember early on taking on Brian Burns of the Giants and then Micah Parsons of the Packers and Max Crosby of the Raiders. It was a murderer's row to start his season. The results were porous enough, especially through the first two games where he'd given up, you know, a combined 10 pressures where we said, are we sure they should have him start against Crosby? And then they did a pretty good job to help him out, actually. They, you know, coached a little differently. I think they called some things differently up front, and it went okay against Max Crosby. He had his best game probably. Since then, against Atlanta, against the Chargers, and certainly against the Bears, I thought he was outstanding in pass pro on Monday Night Football in that game. He has played at a different level. Last week was a revert performance, back to the early weeks against the Cowboys. You know, he regressed. He gave up a sack, he gave up a hurry, he gave up a couple pressures. He was called for, I think it was three penalties in that game. So now, I need you to get back right. This inconsistency, this riding of the roller coaster is not my plan in year one. I gave you the first few weeks, no problem, man. You were learning, you were getting better, you were getting baptized by fire. But then you kind of got out of that. You were playing better. This past week against Dallas is not what it's supposed to look like for him. So I'm hoping that we see a very different Josh Connerly tonight.
That's a good one. And George Karloftis is probably a lot of times his opposite number there, right? I mean, that is a good player.
Yeah, coming up in a few minutes, we're going to give you some of the top Chiefs players and some notes on them. Karloftis is actually one of the most successful pass rushers in the league, even though the sack total is not that high. He's top five in pressures this year, and he's going to get Connerly a bunch.
Spotlight Marshawn Lattimore. If there is such a thing as a good matchup for him, and I don't really believe there is because, again, I think he's washed and can't play anymore, but it would be maybe a couple of these Chiefs receivers, not the fast ones, not the guys that are, you know, burners down the field for home runs, but Rashee Rice is a big, physical, he's quick. I mean, he's a fast player, but he's not you know, I don't know, Tyreek Hill. He wants to push around kind of underneath a little bit and work open. Maybe some bump and run for him tonight. Maybe you can disrupt him, throw him off a route or two. Maybe make him play on the football, God forbid. Maybe get your head turned around and put a hand on one that pops up for an interception. Something to that effect where you've got to make a positive difference here at some point. You're going to be picked on, quite frankly, by both opponents and members of the media, pudgy idiots like me, until something changes. And this is another opportunity in prime time for him to put a deposit in the bank.
How about friend of the program, Beal?
Beal?
Jacory Kroski Bill. Kroski Merritt on the season averaging 5.2 yards per carry, sitting at 377 yards, is coming off of his worst day in the NFL. He averaged just 2.5 yards per carry, 13 attempts for 33 yards, and by the way, he had 15 yards on two carries to start the game against Dallas, which means for the rest of the game, he had 11 carries for 18 yards. They completely shut him down. Now, I didn't think, going back and watching the All-22, that was really a Jacory Kroski Bill issue. I thought it was a system-wide failure, and specifically up front, they just got beat up and they didn't block very well. It's not like he was, you know, missing holes or getting tackled when he shouldn't have. Having said that, they got to get him going, and you need to make it a bounce-back effort for him. I don't think you can string two of those duds together. I liked what I saw from him for the most part against the Bears. They were better at defending the run than we anticipated them being, and he lost a fumble in a second straight game there. So the last three games, it's awesome day against the Chargers, did lose a fumble. Then okay day against the Bears, lost a fumble. And then his worst game against the Cowboys statistically. I'm ready to get him going again. Turn this up. Turn up the heat. As he's been there all down, kind of 90% of their carries back, Danny. 14, 17, 13 carries the last 3 weeks. The efficiency has gone down a little bit. I don't think it has to be that way. They just haven't run the ball as well as they need to.
Hoping the receivers help out with that tonight, right?
Yeah, maybe 16, 17 carries for him and get him up over 100.
Spotlight, Luke McCaffrey. Not really as a receiver with Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel coming back, but Luke McCaffrey, the kick returner. Here's where I'm going with this. I think we know, right, if you gave these teams the same schedule, the Chiefs would come back with a better record. The Chiefs are a better team right now this minute than Washington is, right? I'm not saying anything controversial. That's why they're double-digit favorites. It's up to 11.5, 12.5 some places, down to 10.5 now. Whatever, you understand the point of the story. Kansas City, very good. Washington, trying to be the upstart here, the David and Goliath analogy. Well, what's a great equalizer? What's one play that can change things? Your kick return, right? Your special teams. If you don't screw a team over, think about missed kicks or gaffes or, you know, turnover in that regard. Luke McCaffrey popping one. Maybe not a touchdown, but a field position changing moment. You're going to receive some kickoffs. Kansas City's going to score. What better way to kind of, you know, eat up some turf, right? Some free yards, so to speak, than on a couple nice kick returns. And he's done a really good job of that this year, right around 30 yards per return. One of the better returners in the sport at this point. What if he pops one tonight? That would be a major lift. Kind of some free points there.
Commanders spotlight on Grant and Danny. Which players do we have our eyes on tonight? How about Frankie Louvu under the spotlight? Louvu missed 9 tackles so far on the season, 7 of them in his first 4 games, has started to round into form. He has given up 15 catches on 16 targets in space, but only 67 yak. He's done a pretty good job with chase downs and tackles. Comparatively, by the way, Bobby Wagner, 182 yards in yards after catch for him on the season. But I think Louvu plays up front more. I think Louvu is going to be used more often as a pass rusher on passing downs, put him at edge, and then Jordan McGee is going to play at linebacker. And I am excited to see that. McGee, who's only missed tackle in the entire season, came in that Chargers game. But it was not played a ton before last week when he got 22 snaps against Dallas. Danny, if I had to bet, I think he's going to play more than 22 snaps tonight. It'll be the most we see of him. A lot of Louvu at the line of scrimmage where he's at his best. My spotlight's on Louvu, the pass rusher. If he has a sack, sack and a half in this game, I think defensively it means they're getting closer to running things the way I want them to, and I'll bet you the performance follows that they're going
to
be better.
And that's why I picked Jordan McGee as the next guy to receive a little spotlight here, because I think he's going to play more. I think you're going to see that. Twofold. What's it going to look like? If I'm Mahomes, I sound like this dog, but if I'm also Mahomes and Andy Reid and everybody else, I'm going to say, I got a young player out there. I've got the veteran savvy tight end. I got a rich man, Zach Ertz, in Travis Kelce. Let's see what the kid's got. Let me move him around, and then I'm going to see if I can expose Bobby Wagner with some of those crossers that have absolutely just murdered this defense time and time and time and time again, asking for kind of those late-breaking stuff to try to make him run with people. I'm going to use that middle of the field an awful lot. And let's see, Jordan McGee's going to have to respond well, whether it's covering guys out of the backfield, whether it's covering Kelsey, whether it's, you know, not being exposed here, because that's right now a soft underbelly in a sea of soft underbellies for this bad defense.
There you go. Spotlight on the Commanders, Grant and Danny style here on The Fan. By the way, you just did your Patrick Mahomes impression. That was not the first time you've done that here today at this Kansas City radio station. We actually went in studio with our buddies who do the midday show here in KC on the Odyssey channel. And I didn't think they liked your impression very much.
They didn't love it, I'll tell you that.
They no-sold it badly.
Pretty hard.
There was no like, oh, that's pretty good, or like, ah, ha, ha.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they were actually bothered by it.
I think they were. So it reminds me, years ago, I did the Bridgetown Comedy Festival in Portland. And I'm not from Portland. I'm in Portland, kind of a rare opportunity here. And I hit up an open mic kind of during the festivals that was part of it. Anyway, like Greg Oden was on TV. And I made a joke that he's got, you know, a mortgage face because, like, he's 21 years old, but it looks like he's got that furrowed brow and it's, like, a lot of stress on there. And they just sat there and stared at me. I'm like, well, sorry to kick over that hornet's nest because that's all they heard about.
Yeah.
Someone has done that joke a million times, so I'm sure they've heard a lot of Mahomes material. But I did notice that. That was a fart in church moment right there.
But I thought, I mean, the impression was harmless. And how many guys are doing Mahomes impressions for them? I didn't, you know, if you came in and we were just cutting promos on Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, just like poking at the underbelly, sure, okay, you know, get a little bothered, but to no sell the Mahomes like that,
they no sold it pretty hard.
I was very surprised.
The one guy goes, "Oh, it's a country Mahomes." Like, okay, you mean the way he talks? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think it's pretty good. They didn't love it.
I think the part that maybe led to them just deciding they were going to run away and not talk about it was when you brought up his brother.
Yeah,
which is not like a no-no around these parts.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you want, I think Patrick's on their station and they have a relationship with the Chiefs, but if you want everything to go swimmingly on that front, you're not allowed to talk about his brother being a wackadoo.
I think I said something to the effect of
you know, his dad's issues or whatever.
Yeah, I expect a lot of points tonight. You know, Bobby Jackson's going to do like 10, 12 TikTok dances for every touchdown, and I know y'all can't talk about that because you're afraid. And they kind of just clammed right up on that.
I think they just decided, you know what, we're going to leave that one alone.
Like, yeah, Mahomes impression.
Speaking of the Chiefs. Everybody knows Mahomes and Kelsey, right? Who else on this team could give you fits? And specifically on defense, you know, Chris Jones, who are their best players? Who are the guys tonight that could be a problem for Washington? We'll get into that on Grant and Danny as soon as we return on a game day on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jay Gruden's going to join the show in 15 minutes. I want to ask Jay about games at Arrowhead on the road. He was coaching here the last time Washington was here 8 years ago, And in that game, that was the Kirk Cousins throw to Josh Doctson to win it, where Doctson dropped the ball at the end of the game and they lost in the end zone. Remember, he had it. Would have been a nice,
would have been a good play.
Athletic catch going up the ladder, and he lands on his back and the ball comes out. Didn't complete the play or whatever. And so they lose, and it was one of those thin margins where the game is won or lost in that moment. But how do you even get ready for this as a coach? I mean, how much do you pump in volume during the week? Everyone says this is the loudest stadium. I could tell you I've been to Seattle. I've been to Denver, which I actually think is super loud and maybe even louder than Seattle. Nobody talks about that. I'll be able to compare after tonight. I can't yet. But when you're in places like this, obviously you have to go silent count. It does make life a lot harder. Getting off at the snap, both sides of the ball becomes difficult. All of those things water you down a little bit. But it's not like teams don't come here and beat them occasionally. You know, we see it. We saw the Jaguars give them fits in primetime a couple weeks ago. So it absolutely can be done.
Certainly does. And it's the, you know, you can't succumb to it, right? It's easier said. But again, one of the points of having a veteran team is you're not supposed to be rattled by these sorts of things. I understand the wide-eyed 22-year-old that was playing in the MEAC, 6 months ago, going, man, this seems like a little bit too much.
M-I-something-K. MEAC?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know. I have no clue.
What's the Ernest movie with Halloween and like goblins and ghouls? Do you remember Ernest Halloween?
Ernest does Halloween, probably.
There's this great bit from my childhood where they're filling out like a crossword puzzle, these two bad guys that are both dumb.
Okay.
And it's M-I something K, and it's supposed to be like milk is what they want. And he goes, MEAC? Anyway, Tag, you're in.
Oh, back to me. But Zach Ertz isn't supposed to be rattled. You know what I mean? Marcus Mariota has been cut and released and started and benched and everything in between. Not supposed to be rattled, right? I mean, the guys that are 29, 30, and 30-plus, this is why you have veterans for environments like this, right? It might be too much for kids, but vets that have played in big games, medium games, small games, everything in between, I understand it's loud. But hopefully you've dealt with it and it's not an issue, right? It's not, the lights aren't too bright for you. But we've seen a lot of players wilt under this kind of pressure.
No Dorrance Armstrong tonight feels like a problem. And this is not just a tonight thing. This is a rest of the season thing. Yeah. Season-ending injury in week 7, 25 pressures most on the team, 9 more than any other Commanders defender. He is their leader in sacks as well. He's been one of the better pass rushers statistically in all of football. And he's gone. From a team, we said all offseason, where's the pass rush going to come from? Who's going to be your Dorrance Armstrong? Who's going to go get you double-digit sacks? Well, the answer resoundingly was Dorrance Armstrong. But now you take him out of the equation for the second half of the season. And yes, Von Miller can get to the quarterback, but Von Miller's not here to stop the run. And now he's going to have to play on rundowns. Remember how scared I was when they lost Dietrich Wise about what it would mean to the run game? Now you've lost him. Now you've lost Armstrong, pretty good against the run. Now you've lost Javonte Jean-Baptiste. Weirdly, they're not as good at stopping the run. They've had the run shoved down their throats the last couple of weeks.
Almost like there's a correlation there. So I always hate these kinds of levels of analysis because the numbers are the numbers. Von Miller has 4 sacks. It's not a loud 4 sacks, right? It's not the 3rd and 7, got to have it, 4th quarter. He beats his guy, you know, is in there for forcing a sack fumble. It's a lot of half sacks accumulated, and I'm not ripping him at all. I'm simply saying you notice Dorrance Armstrong, right? It's like one-on-one with the left tackle, beats the guy, gets back there, hits the QB, et cetera. For Miller, it's not quite the Stubblefield tier of touching a guy and raising his finger up like he got one, but it's closer to that than what Armstrong was. And again, I'm not ripping Von Miller. He'll accumulate. He might be a double-digit guy, 4 through 7 games, put you on a chance to, or on pace rather, to have that kind of a season. But you're right about the vulnerability, especially outside runs. Atlanta really found something. Now, Bijan Robinson running outside is a good bet against anybody, let alone, you know, this group here, most specifically. But, you know, that's where Chicago had some success with DeAndre Swift. Dallas did, too, some of those counters and, you know, kind of going in between maybe the guard and tackle, but headed towards those outside runs, I think, are going to be a problem. Thinking about maybe Pacheco in space and Smith in space, et cetera, and maybe some of the action going one way and they come back the other. It's a tough task to stop this team if you're any good. When you're leaky everywhere, you don't know what to plug.
Just some rapid-fire nuggets on some of the Chiefs players for you. Patrick Mahomes has 3 games in a row with a passer rating over 120. This has not happened for him in a few years. He's rolling. He is the favorite for the MVP award right now. 14 touchdowns, 2 picks through 7 weeks. And he's been the fantasy quarterback 1 so far this season because he's running more.
Yeah.
248 scramble
yards. Especially early.
Second in the NFL in scramble yardage at this point. for him to go along with the 14 touchdowns and the big numbers he's putting up as a passer. Travis Kelce needs one receiving touchdown to become fifth all-time in touchdown catches at the tight end position. He'd be the fifth guy to get to 80. The other four are Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, Rob Gronkowski, and Jimmy Graham. Doesn't that just feel like one of those formalities?
Yep.
Monday Night Football, National Tight End Week, or whatever they call it. They're playing the Commanders. It seems like every single time somebody needs something in primetime and you and I are there, it definitely happens, and it normally happens in the opening minutes.
Congrats on your record.
So it just feels like a lock that he catches a touchdown tonight to join that list. Otherwise, Rashee Rice, his involvement was insane to me in his return. Played only 30 of 62 snaps, ran 16 routes, had 10 passes thrown his way. 10 targets on 16 routes run, and then caught 7 balls last week. I think he's only going to be more involved after how well he played against the Raiders. I mean, they had Rice back, they had Hollywood Brown going, and Xavier Worthy all available for the first time this season against the Raiders, and yet they still didn't really use 11 personnel that much. You know, going three receivers, they stuck with their tight ends. They like Noah Gray. They like Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
They like being able to design things out of that 12 personnel. I think you're going to see a lot of that tonight as well, and they're going to rotate Rice in and out. Maybe he plays more than 30 snaps, but I'll bet you it's closer to 40 than like 90% of their snaps.
I think you're right. Yeah, they rotate a lot. And for Rice, it was, you know, nothing prolific. He had 42 yards on 7 catches, but you could see the priority was to get him the football, to get him his touches, to get him, you know, hit a couple of times, to have him make those catches in traffic. I expect his role to sort of continue to expand, right, where there'll be a more versatile route tree instead of, you know, this bubble screen or this underneath or this 10-yard stop or whatever. But he had 4 first downs on those catches, carrying people with him. He is physical, man. And that's kind of the that role that he's going to play opens things up more for the Xavier Worthies and the like.
Just looking up the 12 personnel numbers to back up my point that they run it a lot. It's actually more than I thought. 33% of the time, which is 6th highest in the NFL, that they operate with multiple tight ends. And Kelce, who's not the lethal weapon that he once was in space, he now is a 4.8-yard air yard per target guy, which is fewest he's had in the league since 2016. It's like about 2 yards less, honestly, than any point in his previous several seasons. But at 4.8 yards per target, it's a lot more around the line of scrimmage. It's a lot less after the catch. It's not as scary. But he's now like your Zach Ertz kind of.
Yep.
And he's more athletic and he has a little more juice than Ertz does. But it's that kind of role to make you think about what it is. It's the on the same page as the quarterback, beating zones, throttling it down for first downs on big third downs. Like that's basically what he's providing. And then they use Rice, Tyquan Thornton, Xavier Worthy, you know, those twitchier guys for the explosives when they get their offense on the field. Let's talk to Jay Gruden next, though. Coming to Arrowhead, how do you get ready for this noise? How loud is it? What does he expect tonight from the Commanders without Jaden Daniels against the Chiefs? We'll talk to the former head coach on Grant and Danny in minutes right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's time to take command.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. I'm Grant Paulson, and along with my co-host, 10-year NFL tight end Logan Paulson, we break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis, honest evaluations, and the context you need to truly understand the game. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pod.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.